All right, hello. When we are here, the Highfalutin Ski Bums podcast is back. Episode number three.
Can't keep us away.
Can you believe it? Number three. This is real. Today we got a limited crew. It's just Mario and me, Brian. And today we are talking about ski share houses.
Lots to talk about with ski share
Lots to
houses.
talk about.
Lot goes on there.
So Mario, what is a ski share house?
Well, before we get to that, let's roll back a
Oh,
little.
I always freaking jump. I need to jump right in.
We got to do the weekly flavors. So,
What are we having today? What are you
food
drinking?
mention. Let's start with the food today. We had a little pasta, a little meatball with a little mushroom in there. It was just kind of a concoction I threw together.
It was
Pretty
lovely.
good.
Very good.
But more importantly is the drink rundown.
Oh.
So Brian and I are actually drinking the same thing today.
Same thing.
We're a Moscow muling it up. We're on this kick, and I don't think it's gonna kick anytime soon.
Moscow Mules, yeah, it's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah,
It's back.
don't have the official glasses yet, but so
We're
these are
coming.
ghetto mules right now,
This is delicious. So
but that'll work.
excellent bartending job. They are delicious.
So all right, let's jump right into it. So for ski share houses, I think, let's just start with what is a share house? Why do you do it? What are the benefits? That kind of thing. Brian, you want to take this to start?
Yeah, I mean, ski share houses can be, condos or houses in a ski town on a mountain that usually people who don't own a house will resort to doing when they want to be up at the mountain for a big chunk of the year. Mario and I have both done houses together. We've done condos, we've done houses, we've done quarter shares, we've done full shares. So we'll kind of give you a rundown of,
Visited people at houses, which is always nice to do too.
yeah. So it's one of those things. So, like I was saying, full shares, quarter shares. So what the way they usually set up is if you do a full share, that can mean you come up to the house anytime you want, weekends, during the week. Usually they do it 6 months, so November through April.
And
But
let's talk
again,
about the full share definition. Some houses are 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. You really got to look at what you're getting into for the price and where it is,
yeah. So I mean, what it really comes down to is having a place to stay at for a defined chunk of time during the ski season. So yeah, you can do a full share, which you're there a lot of times. It's anytime you want, weekends, during the week. Some do quarter shares, so maybe you get 1 weekend or 1 week out of the month that you can go up. And the half shares, which is usually every other week or 2 weeks out of the month that you can go. So, depending on what kind of time you have and how much dedication you have, how often you want to be up there, you can find the kind of share that works best for you. So, we've done quarter shares, which are nice, especially if you want to do out west trip or you want to do a European trip or go other places during the season.
Yeah, let's say you don't have a lot of time. You're working a lot. You can only afford 1 week
Yeah.
out of the month to kind of go up. That's your quarter share. Half share is a little bit more of a dedication.
Yeah.
Full share for me, I got a lot going on right now, but I want to get away, and it could seem like a job. Like I got to go to the, I got to go up to the share house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every week. So depending on what you're looking for, I mean, you might be at different times of your life, but also depending on what you get the price, what you get the share house for, you may want to go into a full share and only do a half share for some months and a full share for others,
Yeah, proximity is a big thing too. I know, we're here in Jersey and getting up to decent mountains, the closest really good mountain that you'd want to do a share house in is like a Mount Snow. So for us, that's about 3, 3:15, 3.5. Killington, where we're doing a house now, that's about 4:15, 4:30. And that's more of a commitment. But again, if you have the time and you want to get up there, having a half or a full share, I mean, you really have a ton of flexibility. And a lot of times you might get a discounted rate if you're doing a half or a full. Again, it really depends on how often you think you're going to be there and the kind of house that, the way it's run. Because every house, every owner, every situation can be really different.
So let's talk about a few things when you start looking at the duration and the availability. So
Well,
now,
first off, how would you even get into a share house?
that's a great question. So a lot of times, I've gotten into share houses just from, actually, I started with just a friend of mine that did share houses. So you talk around, you go visit people, And then you find out, oh, I have a share house, or you join a club, or
ski clubs are a great way. Yeah, that's where a lot of times
ski clubs have a ton
word of mouth,
of them.
And yeah, they're always looking to fill it up.
And they wind up doing summer shares too. So it's kind of like it's a whole cycle. You just meet these people that do shares.
Yeah, know? The Hoboken Club that we belong to, that's a big club. They're all about that. They've got their own share house, their own summer house.
Yeah.
And it's another thing too. Some ski clubs actually have their own share houses you can join. So you join the club and you have access to a house. I think there's a few in Jersey.
Yeah.
The Mahwah Club, they have a house up in Vermont.
Short Hills, I think, does.
Short Hills.
There's a few of them around. And so that's part of like a ski club share house kind of thing. So there's many ways you can get into it. You know, referral. The other way to do it is, you know, I know people that have gotten on or found out about share house through Craigslist. I mean,
good old Craigslist.
You know, it sounds like it might be a little freaky, but you definitely have to do your research. You got to check around, talk to people, talk to the owner, talk to people that are either doing it. A lot of times what people will do is they'll do a happy hour or meet and greet because they're a little bit skeptical getting people that they don't know into a house. They don't want it trashed or things like that. And then, you know, they realize you're a little skeptical too. So it's nice to meet people. If they do happy hours and stuff like that, it's great. You get to meet some of the people that are going to be in the house. You get to meet the people that are running it or owning it. And it gives you a good sense, a good vibe for whether or not you want to commit to it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, when you first meet the person who's running it, you can get a pretty good vibe about the kind of person they are and the kind of house they're going to run.
And running it could be by owner or by one of the other members.
You know,
sometimes owners will get like a member that's been there and say, hey, just run it for me. I'm not going to be around. Or they might be around a little bit. So you could find out, like, what is it going to be a, you know, trash the place, you know, frat party every weekend? Or is it going to be a, hey, we're going to chill out, make dinner together, and relax by the fire after you know, a night? It also depends on where you are, you know, what kind of experience you're going
to
get.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Yeah, when you talk to the owner, you can kind of get a vibe of, you know, what kind of house they're going to run. And how detail-oriented they are. You know, usually if they do run a Craigslist ad, they'll either be really, really specific about everything they do, all the amenities, all the features, or they'll be kind of vague. And
the vaguer it is, the better the chance of it being a little bit kind of just frat housey, just get what you get, and everybody trashes the place.
Yeah, and the price, yeah, too. When you see a price that seems really, really low, it's probably you're lucky to get a bed. You'll probably just, you know, have a sleeping bag in the corner. And
but it's buyer beware, you know, your own, you know, you got to take a little responsibility. You know, if they don't show you any pictures of it, that's a dead giveaway. I mean, a lot of times if they have a website, it's a good sign. What we learned doing a share house is, you know, I'd gone up to visit people and I thought, oh, you have a house, you just rent it out, just come on, stay with me, charge you some money. I didn't realize certain states, if you're not registered as an official bed and breakfast, they can actually shut down the share house and you kind of lose your money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So the house that we did last year was registered as an official bed and breakfast, which means you actually, you know, there's actually a certain level of effort they have to put into maintaining the place. It's really interesting. And that was for Vermont. I would imagine every state's a little bit different, but
yeah,
these are things that, you know, as you start doing research, you know, you'll bump into and look at, and if they're advertising on it, it's a good advertising point. You know, for them, they have a better tax, you know, financial setup, you know, being registered as an official business, there's write-offs, but it's just something to be concerned, you know, aware of, that it could potentially happen, because, I mean, there's always horror stories or urban legends that, you know, oh, people got into a house and then the neighbors didn't like a house being run, and they shut it down. Nobody got their money back. You know, so you never know. I mean,
yeah, it is definitely buyer beware. And yeah, like I said, you know, when you do meet the owner, you can probably get a good idea of the kind of person they're going to be, how they're going to run a house.
And don't assume that it's open. You can come in whenever you want. I mean, some share houses, which we found out, are open. You can come in. Let's say you want to go up on a Wednesday. You take a few days off of work. You extend that weekend, get a nice few days in. And other houses might be, you know, hey, you know what? You can only come in Friday to Sunday. So that's a big deal when you're talking about, hey, I can take an extra day off or work remote, and now you can't even go up to your share house that, you know, that you have.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So you really have to do your homework. You have to ask a lot of questions. And you really need to figure out where you are in your life and what you want out of your share house to find the right one. Because if you know, maybe you are 25 and all you care about is skiing. You don't care where you sleep, what the conditions are. I got to be at right next to Jay Peak. I got to be right at, you know, Killington.
Cleanliness of the place is a big deal.
Yeah. Again, it depends where in your life you are.
Yeah.
What do you care about? You know, like if you don't care, if you just want a place to throw a sleeping bag down that you can get fresh tracks every day, every, you know, weekend, that's one thing. If you're a little bit, you're in your 30s, you start to care about things a little bit more, you don't want to be, you know, sitting in filth.
Yeah.
That's something you got to think about too. So
I think two main things that you want to think about first is, how much time do you want to spend, do you have to spend skiing and going up there? And the other thing is the financial justification. You know, how much money do you have to spend on it? Because then you're going to be going out, or maybe you won't be going out, but these all play into when you start looking at amenities and things to do. Financially, it usually makes very financial sense. You know, if you talk about going away for a week-long ski vacation, in some cases that could be anywhere from a quarter, a half to a full share at some mountains. So instead of paying, you know, $1,500 for airfare and a hotel on a ski trip, and then, you know, lifts and everything's extra, you might be able to afford an entire season of skiing for that. So it's kind of something to look at. Then you got to weigh in lift tickets, things like that. So, you know, financially break it down, time-wise break it down, what your honest commitment, what your benefit of doing it is going to be.
Yeah, you definitely need to know how often you can get up there. And one thing to think about is how are you going to get up there?
It's good.
You know,
yeah.
Where we are here in the New York City area, there are, you know, there's a train that goes up to like Killington, you know, to Rutland. There's bus services that go to Mount Snow, Stratton, Killington, Okemo, all those. So if you're in the city and you don't have a car, there are ways to get up there.
And that affects the finances, because I know for a fact that bus, I thought somebody took it up to Mount Snow, and I believe for the four-hour ride, it was like $150 round trip.
Yeah, it's not cheap, but again, it's something, there is a way, you have to make sure that you can get to your share house, because that would be terrible if you're spending $1,000 to be part of a ski house, and you're dependent on people giving you rides, because a lot of times people are like, oh, I may duck out early and go up a couple days early, and if you can't do that based on your job, or maybe they're sick, or they get into a relationship and that ruins their whole ski season. The more you have to depend on another person, the more likely you're not going to be able to ski as much as you think you're going to.
And that's a real good point, because, you know, Brian and I, we're fortunate. We live in an area where we have cars, easy to park. We're just set up where we have access to a car. So getting to and from the mountain isn't an issue. But we've seen people where, unfortunately, because, you know, they join a house thinking they're going to find somebody to carpool with, then they don't really meet somebody to carpool with, and they're kind of stuck on weekends that they want to go up. So it's very, you know, depending on your situation, you want to make sure you're covered, you know, for what you're going to ski.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, because you don't want to be stuck on the weekend sitting home because no one gave you a ride. So those are definitely things to be aware of. So now when you're at the mountain, when you're at your house, you want to pick a mountain, obviously, that you can get to, but that's also kind of the scene you're looking for. We've done houses at Mount Snow, which was super easy to get to, but a little more laid back and kind of a smaller mountain.
So kind of the progression for me was, I had a friend that had a place over at Okemo. I would go up to visit him. I visited him a few times. Always talked to him about houses. Then did a house, just a quarter share, just kind of put my foot in the, you know, dip my foot in the water, my toe in the water, at a small mountain, you know, not as huge as like Killington, like Mount Snow. So we did that. And then after a few years, you start thinking, hey, you know, maybe I want to do a more serious mountain, bigger, you know, a lot more terrain, more trees, more, you know, what you're looking for, maybe more nightlife. Mm-hmm. And that's where you start moving mountains. So it's kind of, that's the benefit of having a ski house, doing a ski share, is you can always do a different ski share the next year, whether it's at the same mountain, a different environment, or at a different mountain where you get a different experience.
Yeah, and again, you know, again, where we are, there's, you know, tons of different mountains that can pretty much have everything that you would need. You know, I think there's even like family shares you can do. I mean, probably if you're a family, you want to do like a regular hotel and rent it out for a long weekend or whatever. But yeah, there's all different kinds of shares, there's all different kinds of houses, different mountains.
If you're going to go the ski share route, it's almost like being, you know, like, you're going out on your own, you're backpacking. I mean, it's best to do it think about it, if you're going out backpacking. Better to do it with a few friends, better to have a plan, and better to start, you know, small and then kind of ramp up to something else.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing, is that if you can do it with a buddy or two, that's an awesome thing, because then you kind of have someone else to kind of lean on, have your back, because sometimes the houses, you can get some people that aren't really on the same page as you.
Yeah. You want to make sure you don't get annoyed. You want to be safe. Like, so there's things to consider when you're going to be with other people. If at least you have a buddy or two that are going to be there, or at least you know some people. And that's why, you know, we joined a ski club, so we knew people that were doing houses. So even if we meet people from other houses, sometimes we'll meet people that we run into that are like, we're from the club. So, I mean, it's a pretty huge club. So it's one of those things that it's kind of a little bit of a safety net, where you're like, you at least get a little intel from people like, oh, I heard about that house, or I heard about like joining that, you know, going to ski at that place. You get that intel, which is really, really helpful. You know?
Yeah. And there's certain houses that, I mean, again, the different amenities at each house. The one that we belonged to recently, it had its own outdoor hot tub. It had a game room downstairs. The owner included, you know, certain foods, you know. So that's one of the
things.
And
it was a really pretty house.
Beautiful house. Nice. Beautiful house.
Private, quiet.
Definitely. But one thing about it is there was no way to really get to the mountain without a car.
Right.
So you needed to have your own car to get from the house to the mountain. I mean, granted, there was, you know, 8-10 people in the house at all times, so you can get a ride from somebody, but again, you're depending on someone, and it's not just an easy, you know,
so that's
hop
a great
on a
point.
Shuttle, a bus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting around, like getting to the mountain, then getting around at the mountain, like how are you going to get, you know, to ski? How are you going to get to nightlife? Do they have cabs in the town? Is it, you walk a lot, walk everywhere, like, you know, what's the deal? Like when we're in Telluride, even on vacation, like if you were to do a share in Telluride, for example, like maybe you live nearby or whatever, but, you know, they have that.
Fly on your private jet to Telluride Airport?
Exactly.
That's the way to do it if you're out there.
Well, we have a friend that did a share in Colorado. So his job allowed him to go to Colorado enough to at least do a quarter share.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are things to think about. Like, and he did that, I think he knew one person. So that was like his little anchor that knew other people. And then he did that share for one whole season, which for him, he said he would never do that again because of the travel. But
yeah,
it was a good experience for him, and he was able to, you know, he planned on it, you know.
And for that, he had to book flights every month. I think he probably booked them in October or November and had them all set through March, so that, you know, he had his car rental, his flight set up, so that he could just, you know, when his weekend came, fly out there, you know, work remote, do his thing, and then ski and then fly back.
Yeah.
Which, that's pretty hardcore. Most people aren't going to do flying share houses. If you can, you're awesome. Please, you know, hit us up. SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com or at SkiBumPodcast on Twitter. And let us be your friend, because we would love to help, you know, mooch. I mean, hang out with you and hear about your experiences. So
you look at the mountain. You look at proximity to the mountain. You look
yes.
at getting around town. Right. So those are all big things. Then you want to also look at, like, the mountain type, what is there to ski? And then you're not going to be skiing all the time. So is there a nightlife? Is there food and grocery and restaurants? Like, you know, so you want to get that out of the way, too, and look at that to see, you know, are we going to be going out every night? Is there nowhere to go out? And I'm going to be looking at the people in the share house every night to say, this is my entertainment for the night, you know, like, what's going on? You know,
yeah.
Like somebody start telling jokes or something, because otherwise you're going to be watching Netflix. You know?
That's a good point, because it tends to be the places that don't have a shuttle service or that are a little more isolated from where the mountain, you know, from where they are from the mountain or the town. You're probably going to spend more time in the share house together.
And that's good and bad. We met great people.
We got lucky. We had met some really good people, had some really good times.
Met some people that were, you know, take or leave, but
you got stories, you know, and that's the one thing. You're definitely gonna get stories out of the people in the share house, because it does attract an interesting mix of people.
If you want experience, you do a share house, you're gonna get experience no matter what.
You're gonna learn a lot about people in general, and you're definitely gonna have some interesting stories.
But you'll make friends, you'll make enemies, like it's just a thing, you know.
Not
maybe not enemies.
Enemies.
Yeah, but
people
just
that you don't ever really want to see ever again.
Right. Well, it depends what age you are too. I mean, here's another thing.
That's a big one.
So at our age, you know, we're in our late 30s. some of us a little older. But, you get a little older and you know, you have different relationships with people. If you're younger, let's say in your 20s, I mean, that's going to be kind of a different scene. I mean, I remember when I was in my 20s, it probably would have been a lot
different. They had skiing back then?
We skied with leather straps, buddy boy.
Boom.
Leather straps on our instead of our boots.
None of those.
Instead of bindings. None of those. Release bindings.
Those nonsense helmets and goggles and stuff.
Spring release bindings. What's that? Tension?
Nonsense. Where you are in life depends on, you know, you're really going to find someone that's, or find a crew that's kind of on the same wavelength as you. And that makes a big difference. You're going to have a lot more fun if you do that as well.
Yeah. So nightlife. So there's towns that we've been in where there's really one or two places to go out. Then we're at Killington right now where you have a pick of a lot of places to go out. And they have shuttle service everywhere. So nobody's worrying about driving. There's no drinking and driving. Like, so that really plays into somewhere like Killington. Other places you look around, like, you know, how far do you have to drive? Do you, you know, are you, what are you looking for? I mean, you know.
Yeah. And something like, you know, like we're in a condo share. And, you know, with a condo, you're going to have a lot of, you know, it's not as private. There's a lot of other units around. If there is facilities there, like our place has a hot tub.
With a bar.
With a bar, which is cool, but also very.
It's strange.
It's strange and cool. Yeah.
And I love it.
But it's one of those things too. You know, you don't have the private hot tub you would if you were in a house. You kind of have all the different condo units and buildings.
But they that all could share be good the same too, because that could be a little creepy too.
It could be. See, again, there's a lot of positives and negatives, and to determine if it is a positive or negative depends on your place in life.
So one of our future shows we talked about. So this will tease up some of our future shows. But we were talking about creepy people in share houses and on trips. Or just strange people. Like, there's a lot of just different people. Like, so it's kind of like you're really living life and, like, enjoying the world and building experiences, like, that you'll never be able to replace. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you know, if you're thinking about a share house, I would say definitely look into it. It's definitely worth doing.
Yeah, and another thing, too, you know, some days you'll get those terrible. I mean, we had an incident last year. It was a Saturday in January, and it was pouring
torrential rain, downpours.
Torrential downpours, just decimating the mountain. But you know what? We were able to, you know, we walked the house
2 miles to get burgers.
2 miles in the pouring rain, yes. And able to go get.
It was a lot of fun. We had a great day.
But we were able to do something. We weren't just cooped up and inside and stuck.
Well, I'm talking about doing something. So, like, let's say you don't want to ski a lot. We know people that have done it. There's a lot of times if you're – depending where you are, you might have cross-country trails near you. So you can cross-country ski.
Yep.
Some people go snowshoeing. Mm-hmm.
Snowmobiling,
you know. Horseback riding. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can do that's not ski-related. So – You play that into effect.
There's always spas, too. So you want to relax and chill.
But you play that into effect, too. Like, let's say you're going to have guests up that don't want to ski all the time or that only want to, you know. So you kind of play that in. Like, is there other stuff to do? Like, for me, I don't even think about that because I'm like, I'm just probably going to ski. You know, I'm going to ski or I'm going to just hang around the place. You know, like, that's all I do.
Yeah. You know? Guess you brought up a really good point about guests.
Very important.
A lot of it's different critical. Ski houses have different guest policies also. Because, you know, sometimes you may have a friend who occasionally skis. You're a little more hardcore. You want to go up there all the time. And people, you may have a buddy who's like, oh, yeah, man, can I come up with you and check out your scene and do some skiing too? Different houses have different policies.
It could make or break doing a share house. So I think we should take a little break, and then we'll start back with guest info, because that's a pretty big topic.
Yep. Be right back. All right. We're back. Again, you can hit us up. Email is skibumpodcast@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter @skibumpodcast. I set up a Facebook page. I don't know how to get to it. I don't know what the URL is, but I will get that up in the very near future and figure that out.
Look us up.
You'll figure it out. You're smart people. So getting back on topic, Mario, guest policies. So what are some of the different kind of setups that they can have for guests?
Guest policies for me, I mean, that could make or break, like, going into a share house. If they say no guests, I've heard rules of no more than the same guest 3 times, no more than 3 guests. Depends on how they run the place. It could be dangerous too, because they say, oh, there's no limit on guests, and all of a sudden somebody brings five people up one weekend, and there's like people sleeping everywhere. I mean, it could be a real nightmare. So what you want to look at is, like, you know, what the policy is, mm-hmm. what you're probably going to bring up.
Because some houses will charge you per guest, per
night.
That's
the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because that can get
which
expensive
is a real drag.
Too. Yeah.
It depends on what they charge. Like, a lot of houses that I've been to that are pretty cool are like, you know, people should just bring up like booze or food or do something, maybe cook dinner. You know, that's their guest fee.
Yeah.
Others are $10 a night, $20 a night. I've heard up to $40 a night. You know,
That's like a hotel room at that point.
And you're talking about a hotel room, which it gets into that weird ass, creepy hotel room thing. I mean, I don't know.
It's almost like we need some sort of like Einsteinian formula to figure out what is the right.
You gotta find it out up front.
You gotta calculate things out to figure out what is the right price point and what houses will get you the most bang for your buck.
Well, I mean, so you come up and you bring your wife up once in a while, right?
Yep.
But you know, she's cool with only coming up a few times, so it kind of works out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from what I've seen. But like, there are some other people that are like, oh, cool, I could bring a guest up every weekend. Like, I'll bring my wife. You know, well, that's a share member. You know?
Yeah.
So that's sometimes why they put limits on, you know, how many guests you can have or how many times that guest can come. But it also depends on the owner and the situation.
And, you know, I know some houses we've been in previously, I mean, it's pretty much almost every bed is used on those share weekends.
Yeah.
You know, if you do a quarter share, it's one thing to be mindful of as well. If you're doing a quarter share, people are pretty much going to be there every single quarter share. There's not going to be, you know, if there's 10 beds and the owner or the manager has set it up so that on those quarter shares, all those are full, it's going to be tough bringing guests and things
are
going
to be excellent point,
kind of messy. And
sometimes it's all full shares. I mean, you'll even get situations where people are living up in the share house the entire week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we have a situation where some people are midweek, some people are weekends. That works out great for the weekend people because that's, you know, they're getting an empty house during the week and we're getting less people, you know, on the weekend. So kind of.
Yeah, I mean, there was an incident actually last month where, you know, my wife and I, we went up to the share house and we were the only ones there. I mean, there's the weekend before that, there was 10 people there.
Yeah.
And then this weekend, there was just the two of us. So, you know, when you do have a house like our current house now, it's all full share members.
It's good to know how many beds and how many rooms and all that breakdown too.
That's a good point because bathrooms.
Yes.
The person to bathroom ratio is a critical one.
It's huge.
Especially if you have a lot of females involved in the house.
I don't want to be sexist, but
just saying.
Just you going out and, you know, some there's a little more time and caretaking getting ready. Guys are usually just like throw stuff on and we're out. And
yeah, I mean, there's been incidents where you kind of go to the bathroom and you're waiting and it's, you know, 45 minutes and you're like, you got to get in there and you got to do your thing. But you're kind of trapped. And, you know, that's
where that
you're
extra
have to deal
half
with.
Bath would come in handy.
An extra half, yeah. If you, again, you really got to figure out the
ratio. Or a house first condo. House, you can go outside.
House, you can go outside.
Do number one, you know, just got to go by a bush.
Condo may have some sort of spa or, you know, bathroom spa kind of locker room.
Take
situation.
A shower there if you need to.
If you need to,
yeah.
So
there's different permutations, but the guest policy and the person that had to bathroom ratio that's huge.
Yeah, and safety is a big thing too. You know, again, especially with females. You know, if you're the one girl or one female in there, and you've got 8 or 9 dudes, you probably will feel kind of uncomfortable.
Well, if you don't know them, you know, honestly.
If you don't know them, exactly.
If you go in blindly, say, look, I'm going to go for this experience. I'm, you know, throw myself up to the, you know, be the sand blowing in the wind and just go for the experience. It's great, but you don't want to get into an unsafe situation either.
Yeah.
You know, much the same if you're the lone guy that out of a group of people that have been doing a share house for a while. You don't want to be the odd person out, you know.
Yeah, because it can get clicky too, just like with anything else. You know, in a way, it's almost like going to college. You know, it's like if you don't know these people, I mean, you're bunking.
It's like a dorm.
There's no way getting your own room. You're probably sharing a room with 1, 2, maybe 3 other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have that kind
of dormy
feel.
One of the share owners talking about how many people contacted him about, oh, do I have my own room? It's like, no, it's not a hotel. This is a share house.
Yeah.
Hey, if you own a hotel, go book a freaking hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the situation, you know? Like, yeah, it's going to be four times the price to get your own room if that's the case, you know? I mean,
yeah, because a lot of these places are kind of built out, at least the ones we've been in, that you're going to have at least two, maybe three beds, maybe even four beds in one room.
Yeah.
So, again, if it's all full share members, it may not be full.
You might have bunk beds. You know, you got to get over, if you have a childhood fear of bunk beds, then...
Yeah, you got to embrace that.
You better stake your ground or embrace that.
Our current place has three bedrooms, and all three have bunk beds.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been on a top bunk yet this year.
Well, we got lucky because the situation we have people midweek, and then people that have only come up once or twice that I don't think I've ever even met.
Yeah.
So it just kind of worked out, but... Yeah, if it was packed out, you'd have bunk beds, you'd have couches.
Cots, I mean, aero beds. I mean, all things get broken out. Because again, so now if you're, again, when you're in your late 30s, your 40s, you're kind of accustomed to a little more privacy, a little more elegant, respectable way of living.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to throw all that shit to the wind.
Got to be a little gritty.
And just get a little dirty. It's like and get
camping
a little,
out while you're skiing.
It's perfect point. It's going to be a little bit like camping, and you got
to
just...
Might need to pitch a tent. Woo.
Yay. Just roll with it. I mean, why are you there? You're there for the skiing. Yeah. That's the important thing. Everything else is just going to be a good story, something to laugh about later. You're going to meet awesome people. You're going to see some weird stuff. You're going to maybe partake in some weird stuff.
Yeah,
you got to be open-minded about this. Yeah. You got to be polite. You got to be open-minded. But you also got to not have your limits and be like,
yeah,
nowhere.
Like if you want the nice, I want to come to a bed and breakfast, read a book, hang out, nice and quiet, my own private room. That's a bed and breakfast. You know, that's a lot more than a share.
Yeah, but it's funny you mentioned that. And, you know, we're going to get into a future podcast. We're going to have some more, you know, stories about things that we've encountered in our ski house experiences. But last year there was this one girl that was in our house, and she'd been doing the house for a couple of years, and she went from a quarter share to a half share, and her other half share weekend was in the weekend that we were in, and we kind of developed a bit of a reputation as being awesome and being a really fun group. And this girl, she was like, yeah, you know what, my other weekend I pretty much get here and read a book and fall asleep at 9 o'clock at night. While the other weekend, that was our weekend, she was going crazy.
Allegedly, we were staying up late, we were hanging out, we had a great time.
We were doing a lot of crazy stuff, allegedly. But you know, that's how it can be too. In the same house, if you have multiple weekends, different, you know, half shares versus quarter versus full, you can have completely different weekends.
Yeah,
you have the really chill, calm, nothing's happening weekend. And you can have the crazy party going out.
And don't judge a book by its cover, because you see somebody that maybe, you know, we had a person that didn't ski. You know, so she came up with her friend that was great, great skier. And they were both really fun. But, you know, you look at like, oh, you know, you don't want to immediately like pass judgment like, oh, they don't ski. I wonder how fun they're going to be. They're one of the most fun people. And they would cook for everybody. It was like, yeah, they like cooking. So they would cook meals for us. And we'd come home from skiing and meal. So... they got to do what they wanted to do, and they were happy, and we got to do what we wanted to do, and then we had this meal at the end.
Oh, it was the best. Yeah, everyone kind of chipped in, you know, 15, 20 bucks, and she would bring up, you know, she'd bring up all the ingredients, all the groceries, and create this awesome meal for us.
And then we'd clean up, and it was a mutually respectful situation. It was great.
It was great. And again, the owner, he was really good about getting a good number of males and females in the house together at the same time, creating a sort of balance.
Yeah, who's managing it?
Management thing too. Where it's tough because skiing is a predominantly, not predominantly, but it's more male, more shifted more towards the male population. I mean, it's probably like a 65-35 kind of mix.
I think the old house that we had was unique because he went out of his way. He actually worked for a like a luxury hotel company. So he had that mentality that he wanted everybody to be like comfortable. So there was something for everyone. If you're a couple, you kind of fit in. If you're single, kind of fit in. Boy, fit in. Girl, you know, it was kind of everybody fit in, had a good time.
He created a good balance. Yeah.
Yeah. He really did balance it out, which I was surprised. He did a good job with that.
While the house we're in now is a sausage fest. But again,
it's like, oh, great, more dudes to hang out with.
More dudes in the hot tub. But again, you know, it's his first year. You know, he just got this place. He just wanted to get it full. You know, that's a big thing, too, is, you know, the people who do run it and our owners, I mean, their job is to get their mortgage paid. I mean, that's why they're doing these share houses, to pretty much pay for their mortgage. So
it's funny, as a share house like member, you move around and you do these share houses, and throughout the years you learn more and more, like what to look for and what kind of vibe you want to be in. And you see the share house owners, they migrate too. Like, they start running maybe an animal house, and then they move over to, hey, you know what? I just want to run a nice, chill house where no drama is going on. Everybody has a good time.
Yeah. And, that's a big thing, too. And, the more houses you end up doing, the more you really can pinpoint exactly what you want. Yeah. I mean, just rolling into your first house, you're like, this is the best or this is the worst. And then – but you really don't know at that point because you haven't had that experience of experiencing. It's almost like your first girlfriend or boyfriend, you know? You may think, this is the greatest person in the world. And then you break up, you're heartbroken, you go to the next person, like, no, this person is the best. Well, they don't do this and this and this.
Right.
And it takes time to kind of figure out what it is you are – to what you want and what you like and what works and what doesn't work.
And after a few years of doing it, you realize that it's really almost a membership. Like, you never want to really badmouth anything. It's just a different flavor for different people, and you're not in that space right then. Because, you bump into people, you go to a different area, you do share house, and you bump into people that were at the old mountain that you were at doing share house. So it's kind of like, and you never know when somebody's going to, link you into a different share house or something like that. It's just interesting.
And you can meet some really great people and get,
it's like a network.
It is. Yeah. It's great networking. I mean, because basically you have skiing in common, skiing or boarding in common. And that's, for a lot of us, that's probably one of our favorite things in our lives, that define who we are.
Yeah.
So you meet a lot of other people that are in that same boat, which is really, really
cool. So one of the benefits we have, we do a big ski club. So our ski club is pretty huge. There's a lot of people that do shares at different mountains as well as the one that we're in now. So we'll bump into people and they'll say, oh, we have an opening in our share house and it has this, this, and this. So at least gives you more options. Like, do I want to move share houses and stay in the same town? Do I want to move share houses and go to a different, different mountain? Like, you kind of start bumping into that more often, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. And then when you end up getting ready to buy your own house to make it a share, you'll know exactly what you want, the kind of people you want to get in there, and because of that experience of, dealing with different people and seeing what works and what doesn't work for you.
Well, and people, we've seen, the share house we're doing now, the guy started out new, he did share houses for many, many years, and, one of his first sources of, contact was, hey, guys in my current share house, nobody owns it in the house, somebody's just running it, he's like, do you guys want to come over to my house? Mm-hmm. And that's how he got a few people, anchor people, and then, you start building on it from there.
Yeah. And that's a great way to do it. And again, so we're going to wrap this up now, I guess. If you want to hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @skibumpodcast. So the moral of the story is, think about it like you're going to college. Do your research. Figure out what you want. Be open-minded.
It is like college. Like, you go out for college day, you visit the college. Go to the happy hour if they have a happy hour. Talk to the people around and try to meet some of the people in the house.
Find alumni.
There
talk
you go.
To them about their experiences. Yeah, exactly. It's a lot like figuring out of college. Yeah. So kind of have that kind of attitude of it. Figure out what you want. Do your research. And remember, just like in college, you're there to learn. And when you're going to a ski house, you're there to ski. And everything else is just stories to tell in the future. So any closing thoughts or?
No. This is ready to go around the horn and right, you want to do around the horn?
Yeah, around the horn.
So, around the horn is just going to be between Brian and I.
That's all we got.
We're missing Steve's missing man formation today. So, what do you got?
Well, ski season's winding down, but Vermont still has a ton of snow. I'm looking to buy new skis, and not that I need them, I just want them. So, good deals are to be had. Looking at perhaps some line supernaturals, but I don't know. I don't need them, but I want them. So maybe this weekend I'll buy some and I'll let you know if I do.
Nice.
Mario, what do you got?
So a few things I've been thinking about. So spring skiing, because we're getting into spring. I'm not a big spring skier. I'm a guy that if it's 10 degrees out, I'm fine. I'll button up and I'll be fine. I'm probably one of the fewer people.
You look good in a bikini on that mountain.
You know, I don't like to break it out often, but so
we're so selfish.
We get into spring skiing, but spring skiing, I could see, has its good and bad. What I see a lot now, though, is everybody's looking at demos, like you were just talking now.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to go, let's go visit the ski shops. Maybe there's some good deals. So now's when you got to scoop up all the good deals because everybody's putting everything out, you know, discounted, used, whatever. But
this season, there doesn't seem to be a lot of stuff around because it was such a great season, at least up in the Northeast where we are. Everybody was out this year. Everybody was buying everything. And the economy is getting a little bit better, so people are spending money. A couple years ago, you know, we'll go into this later, but there was one year where, you know, it was middle of March and you just watching the snow melt. You could actually see it melt and seeing land just.
I went to Vermont one February. It was ski in, ski out. I was all psyched to go up and ski, and it was 80 degrees up there in Vermont. So I went, so the Ben and Jerry's factory.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome. I got to see a lot of cool stuff that I would have never seen.
Any Hetty Topper?
They didn't get any Hetty Topper. I was like, went to Lake Champlain. They like drove everywhere. It was just kind of like there's nothing else to do. So, hey, you know what? With nothing else to do, I had a great time.
Yeah.
You know?
But this year, yeah, it was great skiing. So there's the demo selection isn't as good, but it is the time of year.
So I've been thinking about demos recently. That's been on my mind.
Yeah.
Demos and buying stuff on
just
sale.
Just keep buying stuff.
I'm thinking now, so I used to be a one ski guy. Now I'm like, I think I need like two or three pair of skis, you know, fat skis, like mogul skis. Like I was always like, I just want all mountain skis. That's, you know, I do everything with the one pair of skis. There's something to be said for doing that. I like my favorite skis, like the ones I bought this year, but like.
What'd you get this year?
I got the Blizzard Brahmas.
Nice.
Awesome skis. I demoed, they had free demo day.
Oh, that was a fun day. Yes. Oh,
free demo day. Brian was with me. We went just demoing skis and I rode these skis down two trails. I was like, these are the skis I'm going to buy, you know, demoed a few more. I was like, you know, it's kind of love at first sight. I was like, I love these skis.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the time of the year. If you anything you need to pick up, do it now. There's discounts, 20 to 40%, depending on where you're going online. But support your local ski shops.
I wish we had a sponsor that was sponsoring. We could be like, you know, plugging the, you know, discount going.
Yeah, seriously. If you are a sponsor, you know, if you're a shop and you want to get
I like
some,
the local shops. You got also, you know, the local small guy, like.
Support the local ski shops.
I like supporting the local.
So, yeah, so if you're a local ski shop and you want to get the word out, skibumpodcast@gmail.com or @skibumpodcast on the Twitter.
But for a sponsor, a big one's too good to announce.
But hey, big ski companies, you know, we're happy to demo your stuff and talk about how awesome they are. So exactly. Please, Oakley and Goggles, we'll demo them as well.
So, yeah, so definitely.
Hit us up, please.
All right, enjoy that spring skiing, everyone.
So, yeah, we're going to wrap it up. We'll be talking about some spring skiing and ski house stories in the near future. So we will see you guys next week. Take care.
Be well.
Peace.
All right.